BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Touch me, I want to feel your body.
Jojo. It's easy doing raps like this because you don't have to remember the words. Just subject. Jojo. Is that good?
Dum 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 dum.
It's like a hip hop mix of Ride of the Valkyries. That can't be pleasing anybody, can it?
That was from Keir and
what
Alexander.
Was that? Sudden squeal.
That's the Valkyries. That's what happens.
Coming back, popping back.
Keir and Alexander.
They just forgot
Hitchin.
Something. They left their gloves.
Just forgot their gloves. They're on the ball.
Do you enjoy that socially when you say lots of goodbyes and make a big effort and leave somewhere and then forget something and have to go back in again?
It's awful. It's the worst.
It's so embarrassing. And they're usually talking about you after you've left.
Do you do a comedy thing?
It's me. I'm back again. Having said my goodbyes, I am back. Picking up my gloves.
No, but I will now that I've seen you demonstrate it.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
In that voice. So, folks, we made the sad announcement on the show today that our pre-recorded Boxing Day show, 3 weeks hence, will be our last for quite a while. So, you know, there's a little bit of an atmosphere of
sadness, dejection, finality.
But we hope that that won't colour the podcast too much.
We've been going for 2 years.
Yeah, it's our longest
non-stop. How many podcasts have we done?
Well, this is show number 95.
There we go. That's not a bad run. And let's not be glass half empty about this. Let's be half glass full. I mean, that's 2 years of, we had a couple of little holly goals and stuff, but it's 2 years of almost constant waffleage.
Constant rubbish.
And we're just going to take a little sabbatical at the beginning of next year, but we'll be back like a shot.
Yeah.
As soon as you know, yeah. Is that a good point?
Good point, thanks. Well made.
Yeah, I'm off to interview Tony Blair.
Tony B. Liar.
About Iraq now.
You and Fern Britton.
Yeah, and Fern Cotton, all the ferns.
Fern, and a little fern.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heckins is Fern Britton? Why don't they just get Philip Schofield along and make a little reunion
you
of
know?
It?
I mean, I don't want to... anyway, we shouldn't get into this because it won't. People won't know what we're talking about.
Political shenanigans. So let's get on with the uncontroversial podcast instead, listeners. Enjoy!
Hello again from the big British castle. We hope you're happy with the service that you're paying for. If you're not, please let us know and we will change it all. Because we don't want you to knock the castle down with giant sticks.
So last week, listeners, I was excited because I was about to go off to interview the film director Spike Jonze.
Yeah, we formulated some brilliant questions for him.
Yes. And
didn't we?
Yeah, they were. Can you remember what they were?
Yeah, they were, who are you?
What do you do?
Who are you? What do you do? Faves?
Worsties?
Jedwood?
Jedwood? And then who do you do?
Who do you do? And then bye.
Bye.
How did that go? Is that? And now, the first thing was, how were you going to greet him? Because you thought you might give him a knee in the nuts.
Knee in the nuts, yeah. Knee in the nuts and yo spickles.
Jackass style.
Exactly.
That wouldn't have been an aggressive thing.
No.
It would have been a tribute, an homage.
Exactly.
To his oeuvre.
Oeuvre. I'm sorry to say, I'm ashamed to say I didn't do any of those things.
Coward.
I'm really sorry. I spacked out at the last minute because I was nervous. There was a lot of people.
Even a yo spickles.
I think I may have given him a yo spickles.
You did this at the Oxford Circus store of a major computer retailer.
Yeah.
And they have a kind of peculiar theatre on their top floor, don't they?
Yeah, where they do demonstrations and tutorials.
It's got a big screen and six or seven rows of seats, quite long rows of seats.
Yeah, I would say there were a couple of hundred people packed in there.
Pretty good.
All the seats were taken and then loads of people came and spectated, including various
Spickletated
geniuses and Apple Store
Spickletated
staff members. And it was good fun. It was really enjoyable. went really well. Spike was very charming and accommodating, and I did a thing where I presented a lot of YouTube comments to him from the trailer of his of Where the Wild Things Are,
right,
which was out yesterday, of course.
Of course.
And so it went. It felt really good. Like, by the end of it, it felt great. But then a podcast is available of the session, right? Go on iTunes and find it. And when I listened back to it, and it didn't sound quite so good. Like, it's just the audio, right? So so that there's a whole visual element that's missing.
But excuses.
Well, here's the thing. the one thing that really made me reach for the pause button that I'd forgotten I'd done was, do you remember last, like, when we were talking about the film off air, you were talking about the fact that you liked it. You thought, what was your theory about it? You said it was enjoyably simple because it was, what was it?
I don't remember.
It was like it was a child's game or something.
Yeah. That was my theory. It kind of captures that thing where you go off and have a big game with all your friends as a child, and it's amazingly exciting at first, but then there's a weird disagreement, or you fall out with someone, and it turns a bit nasty and horrible, and you get feeling you start feeling all hot and weird, and you don't really know why because you're too young to understand, you know, basic social dynamics and stuff.
Yeah.
So all you can do is run back to your mummy.
Exactly.
And give her a hug. And that's basically what that film was about to me. Did he not agree?
Well, at a certain point, I found myself regurgitating your theory because I got rattled. I ran out of things to say.
Right.
And then as I started regurgitating it, quite badly, I should add, I suddenly thought, maybe Joe's in the Apple store watching this at this moment. I suddenly thought maybe you'd come in and I hadn't properly given you the right credit for it. Do you know what I mean? Because it was so obviously your theory. And then I got really rattled. And
I was at home asleep on the sofa.
And my brain started melting and it got away from me. And he had no response to
The theorem.
The theorem whatsoever.
Pasolini's theorem.
So if you listen to the podcast, you can hear that moment.
Wow. I'm sorry, I sort of managed to psychically throw you off your stride.
Well, it was a good point.
Without even trying.
Like, when you made it, I thought, yeah, that's a good point. But then I found myself regurgitating. I was like, this isn't even my point, and I'm regurgitating it badly.
Mm.
There you go.
Sorry to ruin it.
Sorry.
But I'm quite proud I managed to ruin it without actually being there or making any effort at all. Hooray!
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Apparently they're going to be singing that on X Factor tonight.
Are they?
Yeah.
And am I going to be like the mentor?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah, mental,
no,
mental,
no
mental.
One's contacted me about that yet.
Have they not?
No, what time do I need to get down to the studio? About 5.
Yeah. No, yeah. Psycho was on the phone yesterday.
Really?
And saying...
And am I mentoring all three of them?
It's the best Text the Nation, Retro Text the Nation jingle I've ever heard in my life.
Who are the finalists? Jumbles, Winkles and Monty, right?
Yeah.
Jumbles, Winkles, Monty. Winkles, the hairdresser from Bolton...
That's right.
Yeah, with the tiny
arms. Yeah.
And the big head.
Yeah.
Winkles.
Yep.
The big, the big girl, the big girl.
She's absolutely
really
giant
big,
and she floats.
But really big.
Yeah.
And that floats, yeah.
She's full of helium.
And who was the third one?
Monty.
Yeah, he's the really old guy.
He's ancient. He's 150.
It's going to be an amazing final.
Yeah.
Who's your money on?
Monty.
So is mine. Because he is the best. I mean, it's kind of a foregone conclusion.
He's the best and he's got magic fingers.
He's the sexiest as well.
Exactly.
He's the world's sexiest.
Do that thing with the top of his head.
Yeah, flip it around.
Exactly.
Like that.
Flip it around.
Flip it all around.
And also, everyone feels sorry for him because of the feet.
But wow, that's news for me, though. So that's quite a... I mean,
it's all the latest X-Factor
20
news.
Million people watching me mentor.
Can you imagine how Monty's going to sing that Retro Texanation jingle?
Amazingly.
I'm going to listen to
Watch out, Subo.
Yeah, because that's it.
Monty's coming up hard on your heels with his Christmas album. So Retro Text the Nation listeners is the part of the show where we give you the opportunity to contribute to last week's Text the Nation if you didn't do it last week.
Yeah, exactly. And last week's Text the Nation subject was all about misconceptions that you have laboured beneath for almost the whole of your life and only recently had corrected. For example, I remembered one that I...
Hey, can I say a thing?
Go on then.
A lot of people were complaining last week that this was just eggcorns.
That's not eggcorns.
All over again.
No, wrong.
It may have seemed a little bit like eggcorns because some of the ones we did last week were verbal.
the Eggcorns were in the Retro Text the Nation Venn diagram.
Eggcorns are a subset of what do we call it?
Misconceptions.
Misconceptions, that's right. Sorry, my brain's not really functioning. But here, it'll kick in at about 11.
Here's a misconception that I had, which is not an Eggcorn. Well, maybe it's kind of Eggcorn-based. But when I was at school in Wales, as a little totty man, aged about 6 years old, I think, they would say the Lord's Prayer in the morning at assembly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I thought it was Aled be Aled. Thy name. And the head boy of the school was called Aled. So I assumed that whoever was the head boy would have their name incorporated into the Lord's Prayer. And I desperately wanted that to be me, you know?
We got another email along similar lines, even though, of course, now I'm not going to be able to remember who it was from.
Adam be thy name.
But a guy that misheard Thanks Peter God as Thanks Peter God. And his dad was called Peter.
Whoa.
So he thought his dad was related to God.
Come on. He probably is.
Sorry, whoever sent that in, not to remember your name, but I'm just recalling your email from my head. That's how much impact it had.
That's double complimentary.
Double complimentary.
You know who you are. Tom in Leeds sent this in. Until about a year ago, I thought a pony was just a really small horse and didn't realize that it's actually a different breed. Now, this is a bone of contention because there was some people sending in messages about the fact that you can spell realize with an S or a Z last week. I was complaining that I only recently found out it was spelt with an S and not a Z in the UK. A lot of people saying that's not the case. It's one of those words you can spell any way you want, they were saying.
What about the pony thing?
The pony thing, well, according to Wikipedia, a pony is a small horse with a specific conformation and temperament. There are many different breeds of ponies compared to horses, ponies, blah, blah,
really?
Blah. So a pony is a small horse. This guy's saying only... I thought a pony was a really small horse.
You've
didn't
opened
realize
up
it was
a can of worms and you can't get the worms back in the can.
No, I can. He's wrong. Tom in Leeds, don't
Is
worry.
It?
Yeah.
So a pony can be any sort of young horse, small horse.
It's a small horse. It's about the height of the horse.
Not about the breed.
Not necessarily.
Here's a good one I got from Huel Sedgwick Gell. A friend of mine, until the age of 15, thought that everybody sat on the toilet the wrong way round, i.e. facing the wall with one's arms on the cistern. It was only when it came up in conversation that he realised this was not normal. Now, Huel Sedgwick Gell in this email suggests that that's such a powerful idea.
What's his name?
Huel Sedgwick Gell.
Yeah. That's a brilliant name.
He thinks that's such a powerful idea. He's convinced that 90% of our listeners will now go and try that next time they go to the toilet.
Yeah.
They will attempt to sort of ride it like a horse or a motorbike.
Sit on it like Catherine Keeler.
I think that's unhygienic because your knees and your feet will go into areas that are usually just splashback based. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it depends how much clearance you've got.
And it depends how clean is your house.
Also,
how clean your house is. That's not how you say that.
Your Julies
anymore.
Are going to get a little kind of spritz there when you flush, aren't they? So it's like a...
Well, that's an extra kind
it's
of...
It's like a bidet.
That's an extra sort of European touch.
That's nice. I don't see any drawbacks to sitting that
it.
Way around. I see none drawbacks.
None drawbacks.
Yeah, because you can lean, you can do a little bit of work, you can have your laptop
on You could
on
have
the
your laptop on
cistern,
there.
Unless you've got a curvy cistern. But if you've got a nice flat cistern, oh, you can have a little bit of lunch.
Let us know how that goes, everybody out there, if you take up Huel Sedgwick Gell's
flush,
idea.
You get the Julie Spritz. Everybody
Julie
wins.
Julie Spritz. I know someone called Julie Spritz.
She's a very talented actress. Here's a message right now from Charlotte in Edinburgh. And she says, "Dear Adam and Joe, not so long ago, my boyfriend, my brother and myself were having a conversation about music, and a TLC song was relevant to my argument. I couldn't remember the name of the band, so I said, you know, the girl group with Lisa Left Eye Lopez, and the chorus goes, go, go, Jason Waterfall. Take me to the rivers and the lakes you used to. This was greeted with an uproar of laughter from my boyfriend and brother, as they told me the lyrics were, in fact, don't go chasing waterfalls. I had always imagined that this song was about an ex-boyfriend called Jason Waterfall, who used to take his girlfriend to lakes, streams, any kind of romantic watery spot. To be honest, I prefer my version and I'm still unable to learn the new lyrics. Thanks, Charlotte from Edinburgh." Go, go, Jason Waterfall. That is better, don't you think?
Yeah.
Much better than TLC.
Jason Waterfalls. I wonder if he knows Julie Spritzer.
He probably does.
Julie Spritz.
Julie Spritz.
Yeah. Imagine if they were in a film together.
We should have more of these because we've got quite a few good responses.
Can we not have more now?
Give us one more.
One more. Did you know that pigeons have nipples? Yes, that's right, they do. Or so I thought after my primary school teacher told us that pigeons suckle their young. What? Fast forward to 20 years later, a young man has just started an important new job and, sitting in a crowded tea room, decides to impress his new colleagues with this rare and interesting fact. Even as the words were leaving my mouth, I could tell something was wrong. Despite the looks of confusion turning to consternation, I stubbornly battled on through to the end of my telling. This is from Rob Jones in London, thinking there that pigeons suckle their young.
And have little pigeon nipples.
A lovely little mother pigeon lying on her side with lots of little baby pigeons. Suckling happily and keenly on her nipples.
She would get a lot of chafing with the beaks.
Yeah, she'd have to part the feathers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there we go. So Rob was labouring under that illusion for a while.
That's a sexy image. Parting their feathers to reveal her pigeon nipples.
Some people are into that kind of thing.
I am now.
Yeah? You should go online.
Certainly.
Look for feathery breasts.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam.
Now, Joe, you were saying just while we were playing the Killers
there.
Yeah,
I've got to get something off my chest. I had an altercation in a popular coffee chain.
Sandwich.
Sandwich shop that has aluminium in it.
Yeah.
You know, and lots of star shapes around the place. I go there regularly every morning for a delicious croissant, and I was standing in the queue, and this particular chain has quite a chaotic queuing system, e.g. it doesn't have one.
Yeah.
It's often very busy in the morning. So I was standing waiting for my delicious croissant in a queue, a sort of queue that had informally formed, and it was a sort of one queue for about four checkouts.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of checkouts at this place, and they're usually pretty good. So I was in that queue. I was about five people away from the queue. On my right, past me, swanned a young lady doing a message on her pink BlackBerry, and she headed straight past the queue up to the counter.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So...
Lady Mark.
Lady Mark. So Cornballs reaches out
and
touches her arm.
Her arm, good.
And says, excuse me, there's a queue here. Right.
You love to touch, don't
right.
you?
Well, you see, there we go. You've honed in on the point.
Hand on the shoulder.
As soon as I touched her arm, she turned around and looked at me as if I had the severed head of her mother in my hand.
Did you?
I didn't, no. Oh, okay. I'd left it at home.
Right.
But she looked at me as if I actually had it with me, as if I pulled it out of some sort of bowling ball
bag like
and gone,
touched.
Look at the severed head of your mother! Right. She was so shocked. She literally gasped.
No.
And stared at me in silence. And I sort of smiled weakly and said, no, we're queuing. I carried on forcing my point. And she said, how dare you touch me? How dare you reach out and grab my arm? I said, I didn't grab your arm. I touched your arm. That is so aggressive. She said, I was like, is it? Is it really aggressive to like lightly touch someone's arm? What are you going to do next? Steal my BlackBerry?
No, she didn't say that.
Yeah.
It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So I just...
What? I barely touched your arm. God.
Well, I couldn't react in that kind of way. I were totally short-circuited because I just didn't understand. It was, to me, it was as if she was insane.
Yeah.
Insanely overreacting.
Definitely.
But you just can't be sure because... It was suddenly a very public display, a public confrontation, because now, of course, the whole of the aluminium sandwich shop was now staring at us.
Right. A couple of people. Did you get any Stevens?
Didn't get any Stevens, no. In fact, this place was right next to the BBC here.
Yeah, I know the one.
So I'm convinced that this young woman had a haughtiness that could only come from working
from
at the
castle.
BBC. Probably Radio 4.
Castle-based haughtiness.
Castle-based haughtiness. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was quite sort of vilified and confused, and she did join the back of the queue. And when I bought my breakfast kit, I was so polite to the person serving.
Yeah.
I was sort of extra polite so everyone could tell I wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, what would be a brilliant verbal salvo for as I exit?
Right.
Because I'd very much sort of stayed silent, and I could have been cheekier. I could have risen to her confrontational tone, but I didn't.
You know what I would have done?
What?
Squeezed her ass.
Would you? Little pat on the bum. Calm down, darling. Better luck next time.
I'm sorry.
You know what I was going to say?
Yeah.
You know what I had ready in my head?
I apologise for that language, incidentally, listeners.
I was going to turn and look at her and say, bye, good luck with being nuts. That was my line in my head. I thought, this is good, this is good. What's she going to come back to? And I've left so much of a pause between the altercation. That's going to ruin her week. Yes, and I will have won, but I didn't say it.
Good luck with being nuts.
Good luck with being nuts. And then I would have run out of the shop at high speed.
People don't like it when you invade their space.
People don't like being touched, do they? Even, do you remember my story about the King Creosote concert?
Sure, I
when
do.
I told those two ladies to be quiet, it was the very same lady face I got.
You put your hand on her shoulder in that situation.
The same lady face my long-term partner gives me when I touch her. It's not. She loves to be touched.
How dare you touch? What are you going to do, steal my BlackBerry?
Is this a new rule? Are you not allowed to touch another human being unless you know them? Is that a thing? Do I have to go on a register now?
It is weird. It's outrageous. It's like getting an electric cattle prod.
I really didn't grab her arm.
I bet you didn't.
I didn't. I touched it.
Yeah.
I may have tried to stop her. Yeah, it may have been a slight bit of pressure.
A little headlock,
listeners? Did I step over a line, or should everyone just touch strangers a bit more?
Sure, I do. I mean, I'm a big fan. As you know,
you love to touch strangers. You do it at night, don't you? Dressed in your special clothes.
I'll goose anyone.
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool, and the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great. Please play me, I'm pretty.
You know, we were talking about touching people just then.
Touching?
How I touched the lady in the sandwich shop and she overreacted.
She probably fancied you.
Do you remember? There was an erotic atmosphere.
What was there? A little sparkle?
It was a meet cute. Do you remember the touching game?
Sure.
That we used to play.
Yeah.
Adam and I used to play a game called the touching game when we were bunking off school or just when we
just poncing around in
just
PSs.
Just poncing around. How would that game go?
Private study periods. It would go, me and Zach and you and Louis would run out and we would have to go up to a stranger.
This would usually be in Trafalgar Square outside the National Gallery. I remember playing it a lot. A busy place.
Yeah.
A place busy with pedestrians.
Like whilst the rest of us were watching, you would have to go up and touch someone just on their body and either not be busted. I mean, the thing was that
you can walk along behind them and rest your hand lightly on the back of their jacket.
Exactly.
As they walk along. And didn't you get points depending on what reaction you got?
Yeah,
if you could touch them and not be noticed at all, mm-hmm. like get several meters along the street without being noticed, then that was a score. You'd run back towards your cluster of observing friends. Yes!
But you'd get more points if you got busted, wouldn't you?
Would you?
Yeah, because that
depending
would
on how sort of vociferous the response was.
Yeah, that was more derelicious if someone turns around. If you go up and lay your hand on their buttocks and they spin around and go, what the heckins? Then you get more points for that, surely, than an unrecognized bottom touch.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
It is a good
you
game.
You can get in trouble, though, playing. You have to be careful.
You should be very careful. I only mention it because a listener called Ruth texted in saying, I have a friend who's been testing how long he can touch strangers for.
Mm-hmm.
He and his friends compete with best non-sexual body parts to touch.
Yeah, that's.
He put his hand on the waist of the Covent Garden Marks and Spencer's security guard for ages once, but no rebuff, just a confused security guard.
It is fun. I mean, a little bit of confusing touching can be a fun thing.
Well, I think we should really bring it back because I don't think this is a direction the world should go in.
Well, do you ever find that, I mean, you and I are certainly in the scale of celebrity pretty minor, but I think sometimes if people recognize you, they feel more inclined to touch you. Do you ever get that? Like people sort of reach out and...
Not really.
Well, sometimes when I'm doing gigs and stuff, I guess after people have had a few drinks, people come over and like last night I was out and this guy, he was a friend of, like he'd been introduced to me by a friend and he was a little bit tooty. But at one point he reaches across and he starts tugging at my beard going, nice beard. And he was like tugging at my beard and then he sort of pinched my nose and stuff. I really wanted to hit the guy.
He's after a DNA sample so he can clone some little bucklings.
Yeah. Get them on rival radio stations.
Bucolic Park.
I really wanted to smack him.
He's the new Richard Attenborough.
Should we have some made-up jokes? Here's the jingle.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
We're going to blaze through these, listeners. Here's one from Ben in Greenwich. And he says, what do you call a female pop star who's able to detect ionizing radiation?
Oh, probably something to do with... Oh, yeah, no, I can guess this one.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Did you see her on her giant bath?
No.
On the telly programme, The X Factor?
No.
She done a performance. I only saw it on the repeat last night.
Yeah.
She done a performance.
What was in the bath?
Men, dancing men.
Oh.
She finished her song in a very, you know, she does very sort of edgy angular dancing.
She does.
So did her dancers. Very sexy, very provocative. They finished their dance, all lounged all over the bath, all in weird positions. And she's in a weird position on her back with her head hanging over the edge of the bath. Dermot has to come over and interview her. And it was funny because the dancers didn't really know what to do, whether to relax or whether to hold their poses.
Yeah.
So they held their poses.
Good job.
But you could see that they were really...
Were they sort of quivering?
They were under a certain amount of strain.
Oh, man.
And then Lady Gaga Counter didn't know what to do herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just kind of weird and
awkward. Did she say anything outrageous?
I'm in the bath!
Dermot said, what's your advice for our contestants and viewers? She said, be yourself and don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't fulfill your dreams.
Huh.
Which is good advice. I thought that's good advice.
Of course, that's the standard.
What would you do if I told you couldn't fulfill your dreams?
I'd be upset and I'd stop trying to fulfill my dreams.
Yeah. Well, you want to listen to Lady Gaga?
I shouldn't let
advice.
Anyone tell me that.
Here's a joke from Max in Aberdeen. Did you hear about the albino smoothie? It didn't have enough melanin. Come on.
Incidentally, if you've never heard this show before, these are jokes that people have sent in that they have made up themselves.
They're claiming they've authored them, and I've done some testing on my ones.
Well, Lady Gaga, I'm not even going to go into whether Lady Gaga...
At least it's contempo.
Exactly. Here's one from Mark Livingston. And I'm sure some variation of this has been done before. Dear Adam and Joe, a philosophical joke. What's the difference between Karl Marx and Immanuel Kant? Karl can be reasonably described as one of the founders of modern socialist thought, and Immanuel Kant.
Mm.
He says it works with other philosophers too, as long as the second one is always Kant.
Oh, I bet that's a golden oldie.
Yeah, it's like, what's the difference between Robbie Burns and Walt Disney?
Yeah.
Robbie Burns and Walt Disney.
Ah, very good.
It is a good one. Come on.
Dan Fowler from St. Albans offers this joke as his own creation. Do you believe him? Have you heard it before? Did you hear about the man with a lisp and a limp? He kept walking in circles. Come on,
that's a cracker joke, that one, practically.
Those are the only two I've got. Every other joke that I tested did not pass the Cornish Google test.
This is from Liam Cooper in Oxford. Did you hear about the king who used to shout obscenities from the battlements of his castle?
Yeah, I did.
He had Tourette's syndrome.
Nice.
He had Tourette's.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my worries have disappeared. Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my mail might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. So, Retro Text the Nation, as we reminded you earlier, last week was all about things you've kind of got wrong, miscomprehensions, misunderstandings, things that you've only just learned and make you feel retrospectively like a fool.
Here's one from Evan in Sydney, Australia. We've got a lot of listeners in Australia, don't we?
And none of them will have us to stay.
No, I mean, why don't the BBC fly us out there and do a little tour? I'd love that.
Stupid.
He says, greetings, AJ. Whilst driving through a tunnel that went underwater, my girlfriend said she always worried when driving through them in case there was a puncture in the tunnel and water would come gushing through.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, I entertained that thought. But then I started wondering how they would build a tunnel in the water. Surely they don't have builders in wetsuits with scuba diving gear. Then we realised they probably built under the ground, which is below the water. Well, I don't actually know, because as I was reading this message, I was thinking, you know, I don't really know, Evan. Maybe, surely they sometimes do. They put pipelines in the sea, right? Then you do get scuba men with underwater.
Yeah, but then they just have to sort of lower the pipes,
yeah,
don't they, and connect them.
That's the way I thought they did. Like big pipes, and then they flush the water out of them. That's the way I thought they did them.
If you go on the Eurostar under the under the channel,
yeah,
everybody on that train is thinking the same thing as you go into the tunnel.
Right.
You're having sort of Sylvester Stallone-style fantasies about some kind of underwater train disaster.
Uh-huh.
don't you?
Sure.
Is it impossible not to have a fleeting reverie about some sort of underwater disaster?
No, it's very unpleasant. I don't like it. I'm very relieved when we emerge.
Yeah, when you emerge at the other end. And then the other thing that you people must think about generally is how the hell they built the thing.
Right.
They should have a little booklet.
Do you know, James? You're cleverer than us.
We don't know anything. We don't know anything. Program. Nothing.
Someone tell us.
You could build it full of water in scuba suits, then suck the water out like a giant straw.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Yeah. Either flush it or suck it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't know. Have you got one there?
I certainly do. Here are some good ones. Here's one from Ellie from Aylesbury. Until recently, I always thought the popular lemon-lime carbonated drink 7-Up was actually called Zup. Because of the packaging, I still think that sounds way better.
They could rebrand it.
They should rebrand it Zup.
Yo, Zup.
Another quickie from Beth Wilderspin. An indigestion tablet advert a few years ago encouraged you to suck them and see. I, for a long time, thought that they contained a new type of vitamin or wonder drug called suck them and see. That's
yes,
pretty good.
I'm afraid you're severely lacking in suck them and see. You need a little injection there. Here's one from Trev Rowe. He says, "Hi, Cornish Boggles and Buckles." Nice to include Boggles in there. My friend Natasha managed to...
Who's Boggles?
Boggins.
Oh, that's a new name for Boggins, yeah. Is it? Boggles.
He says, my friend Natasha managed to live into her mid-20s, believing that... And this is bizarre.
I thought that was the end of the sentence.
No, no. She managed to live into her mid-20s.
Wow.
What kind of misconception is that? You're not supposed to make it to your mid-20s, you moron. She lived into her mid-20s, believing that when people talked about there being 6 billion people in the world, it meant we were all living inside the world. Okay. This is hard to actually conceive, but she believed that we were living in a kind of inner kingdom.
Right.
And she said it came up, he says it came up in a conversation with her boyfriend when she asked how it was that we could see the moon. Best bit, she's a travel agent. I kid you not. I mean, what kind of a travel agent is she?
That's quite sensational.
Yeah, you'll be travelling to a magical island in a big metal bird, a sausage bird that flies in the sky just beneath the outer layers of the inside world where we live.
Wow, it's like a sort of real-life Truman Show person.
Can you believe it, though?
That's amazing.
Into her mid-20s. Yeah, there's 6 billion people in the world.
Inside the world.
Terrifying.
Where they live.
Well, that's blown my other ones out of the water.
Come on, let's have a more normal one.
I used to go out with someone from Surrey, let's call him Nick, who liked to think that he was a bit posher than the rest of us. He was so keen on being posh that he used to pronounce the word pavement, pavement. So the first syllable rhymes with bathe, pavement.
Pavement. My son does that.
Does he?
Yeah, it's nice.
I've got one other one here. For most of my 32 years, I thought that Barbara Streisand was called Barbara Streisland with an L. The truth only emerged after I suggested to my girlfriend that we got tickets to go and see her in concert last year. I couldn't believe it. I've got a couple of her albums and I could have sworn they said Streisland. Catherine in Deptford.
Here's one from Jay. He says, Bucks and Corn. I only realised, with an S, about 2 years ago that I'd been misspelling February. I'm 28. One day, glancing through my diary, I noticed the correct spelling and pointed out to my girlfriend at the time that my diary had an error in it. I proclaimed how stupid it was of the printers to make such a glaring boob. She stated that I was the stupid one and asked how I spell February. For 26 years, I spelt it February without the R. I couldn't believe it. How can someone live 26 years without becoming aware of this? My life became a farce. Why hadn't my teachers, my friends and my family pointed this out? I'm no longer with my girlfriend, and I fear this may have been a contributing factor. Is there anyone else to blame apart from myself? What other fundamental aspects of everyday life have I misconstrued? Yours, Jay. If that is my real name, in Manchester. P.S. Jay isn't my real name. It's James.
What if Jay lives inside the world? What if actually a huge portion of the human race do live inside the world on a sort of mezzanine level?
Yeah. I mean, if it turns out that Natasha's actually right about
what if
us
she's
being,
right?
What if core dwellers?
What if only members of the government and lizard people have access to a secret lift that takes you down to B planet?
So basically what we're looking
at when we look at the sky, it is a painted ceiling.
Yes, it is. Like in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
The ride.
In Disneyland. Oh, man, this is totally...
We've stumbled onto a truth larger than any of us can deal with.
Mind the gap.
Yeah,
said Minergap.
Back in the summer when we were at Glastonbury and we came out of the song Radio Radio by Elvis Costello, we couldn't have known that our pathetic rambles about what kind of songs would be guaranteed to be played on the radio would spur... I'm really in trouble here, man.
I'm putting on a jumper.
You're putting on a jumper.
I don't know how to get it around my headphones.
You haven't taken your headphones off. I'm just talking rubbish.
There's a lot of distracting things happening.
We were basically just speculating about what kind of song would be guaranteed to be played on the radio, right? So we just improvised these stupid little rambles. And people, we put them on our blog and people have been putting them to music in variously creative ways.
Yeah, the listeners instigated this, didn't they? We just happened to sing stupidly and then some brilliant and kind person made the decision to put the random singing to music, and it snowballed into a kind of experimental sidebar in the show where you take our sort of out-of-tune, atonal, structureless singing and give tone and structure to it in a brilliant way. So it's a sort of way for people to demonstrate their extraordinary musical and production skills with a piece of absolute sort of rubbish to base it on.
Toilet rubbish. Here's something that John Ramone from Epsom Ramone sent in. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, on a recent family outing to our loft, I was delighted to find our old record player. On it was a long player of the Ramones, recorded live in New York City, New Year's Eve 1979. After we'd pogoed around the long-forgotten toys and Dad's old magazines, 4 hours later we were amazed to find a hidden bonus track recorded by the little-known and very underrated younger Ramone brother, Adam Ramone. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Hey-ho, come on, let's go. Hey-ho, come on, let's go. Hey-ho, come on, let's go. This song is playing the radio. Hey-ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
Thank you very much, good night.
I love Joey Ramone at the end there. Thank you very much, good night. That's perfect. Thank you very much, John from Epsom.
This song is playing on the radio. Hey, oh, come on, let's go.
We were making the point that if you sing a song that lyrically is about being on the radio, you'll get on the radio faster. So I sung a random thing as well, and we got an amazing version of it by Nigel Hill. He says, "I really hope you like this. I've incorporated both of your singy bits onto a musicy bit that sounds a little like the Blankety Blank theme tune. I think it's better than the Blankety Blank theme tune, which is high praise. After a couple of hours fiddling with your rather untidy but marvellous vocals, and then more hours fitting the music around it, I've come up with this little tune. I hope it's not too long." It's not long enough, Nigel. Here it is.
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool, and the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great, please play me, I'm pretty. Oh, the DJ, oh, the DJ. The station he works for is the best in the world. Oh, the DJ, oh, the DJ. Oh, the DJ, oh, the DJ.
This song is playing on the radio. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool, and the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great, please play me, I'm pretty.
I like the fact that your bits are all upbeat and perky and my
I like
bits.
It when your bit comes in. It sounds so depressed and psychotic, but yet strangely chirpy. It's like, yeah, that's good, Nigel. That's I think really that's good. Really very good. If I was, for instance, the head of ITV, where almost all programs have a theme tune that sounds like that, I'd make that my new key theme tune.
Yeah.
You know, like the Grange Hill tune seemed to be sufficient for Give Us a Clue and Grange Hill. It was on various different programs. I'd do that with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd use Nigel's composition for almost everything.
Repurpose it. Here's one final one. This is coming from a completely different place. Let's just fire this off, James. Here's a bit of art music. Right? It's a kind of ambient composition. Some synths coming in here. This is from someone called...
Stop talking over it.
I'm sorry.
Start talking over it again.
This is from someone called Conal Rad. C-O-N-E-L-R-A-D. He says, "I'm a part-time electronic musician, working under the name Conal Rad. Tom Robinson has played me a few times on Six Music. That was nice of him, he says. And I wanted to see what I could do with your radio songs. I wanted to do something a bit different, though. Obviously, the premise of the things is that any song that mentions the radio will automatically get played on the radio. So instead of turning the sample into a hot, sexy chart hit with cardboardy reason beats and
like
so on...
Like Nigel did.
Right. I thought I'd see how far I could push the idea. I took Adam's unintentionally, or rather intentionally deadpan monotone voice and made use of its soporific qualities, looping it alongside some evil decayed synths and turning it into a long, loping ambient thing that nobody in their right minds would ever play on the radio. And there it is, ending there.
There it is.
Well, I mean,
on the radio.
We did play it on the radio. I mean, we spoiled it by talking over it. But thank you very much for that, Conal Rad. He says, P.S. Kilboggins.
Yeah, thank you, everybody who's done that. And if you go to our blog, which is available to view at bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe, you can get those original music-free bits of rubbish vocal. And also you can hear what some other people have done with them. And maybe you think you can blow those efforts out of the water with your own amazing interpretation.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic.
I wanted to talk to you about hotels.
Oh.
Do you like staying? You stay in quite a few hotels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, stay in a lot of hotels. We travel a great deal.
Flying around
doing like George Clooney and
Biznuts.
Up in the air.
Exactly. Have you seen that film yet?
Yeah.
Is that enjoyable?
Yeah, it is.
You having Clooney?
Yeah, I liked it.
You like pro Clooney?
Yeah.
Did you really like it? You're not just saying
well,
it to be
nice. Do you really...
Because you know him or something.
No. I don't know. I know people who know.
Do you?
Very nice chap, apparently.
Very nice guy. Anyway, the fact is, you like staying in hotels, right? Do you actually like staying in them or do you dread it?
No, I like it. If it's a nice one, I like it. If it's a nasty one, I dread it.
Sure, simple as that. I really like it. It's, not part of my normal routine. Doesn't happen very often. But I was in London this week staying in a very nice hotel as part of a work thing. And it was really fun, but I'd forgotten about all the, like, how expensive everything is, obviously, and this is an obvious point to make, but I still don't get the mentality of hotels charging so much. You know, they have like a little basket of sweets and stuff in the corner of the room, and you're just about to tuck into a little bag of teasers or whatever it is, nice little bit of Toblerone or some chocky bar.
£3.50.
For
what?
£4.
For what?
For the standard small size Tobler triangle bar.
No.
£4!
And that is a 300% markup. How much would it cost you? A pound?
No, less than a pound.
60 pence.
65p max.
That's astronomical.
£4!
You're right. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I was just about to bite the top off that mother and have myself a nice little bit of chocolate-covered nougat in a triangular form.
Do they charge for internet access? Because that's the most shocking thing. I mean, that's entirely free for them, and yet they can sometimes charge you up to like
on this occasion, no. And it was nice and fast, the broadband.
Was it?
Oh, it was speedy.
Did they charge for a bathrobe? Is there a bathroom?
You know, I don't even touch those things now because you go into the bathroom and there's all the notices about you can use your towel if you want to, but you'll be killing the planet. How does that feel? Mm. You know, it costs us a lot of money. Basically, they're just trying to save a bit of money on laundry, but they put it on you that you're killing the planet by making them do laundry. Mm. So you're like, well, you know, are you going to give me a towel or
was
not?
Was there water?
There was a little bit of water.
Free water?
Free water, yeah.
There was free bottled water.
Oh, yeah, free. I thought you were coming out of the taps.
That's no bottled water.
You didn't have to pay to get the taps
turned on. They should have a couple of bottles of water, shouldn't they?
Yeah, free water, double water.
Some they don't. Some they charge you £4 for the basic water.
But in the end, I had to, like, go through, because I was starving for a little snack. I had to go through and find the cheapest thing there. It was a pretty miserable chocolate chip cookie. Like, even in a rubbish hotel, you go in and you get the teas made, right? And you get a couple of
little bickies,
free Bourbons or whatever. Not in this flipping hotel, you didn't.
Bonds.
And the cheapest thing was the a little chocolate chip cookie, single cookie in a little pathetic wrapper, £1.50. Obviously, I could have gone down to a shop, and I just couldn't be bothered though, so I had it, snaffled it. Do you think I declared it the next day when they asked if I had anything from the basket?
Probably not.
Didn't declare it. I felt quite naughty about it.
Yeah.
Normally, I absolutely would declare everything. Like before, I had a little orange juice from the minibar. I declared that.
Do you leave a tip for the maid?
You know, I was worrying about this. What do you do? I'm so unused to going to a hotel. Are you supposed to?
Well, they sometimes leave a little envelope.
A little envelope for one night, though?
Yeah, saying my name's Conchita.
Oh, they leave an envelope.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you leave an envelope
no,
saying,
no, no.
Hi, my name's Conchita.
I love no, obviously I do that.
Yeah,
because my name is Conchita.
Oh, if they leave an envelope, sure. If there's an overture to a tip, then I'll usually oblige.
Yeah.
But if it's just up to you, I mean, do you, like once you've paid your bill and signed your check, do you leave a tip?
No.
No, no.
Why would you?
Well, I don't know.
They've already sucked all the money out of your wallet.
It's such a movable feast. Have you ever tried to fiddle the minibar?
What, like top up the whiskey
either
with some
top
tea?
It up or replace it with a cheaper version or something?
Sometimes I put my own things in the minibar.
Yeah.
And they don't like that.
Right.
You know, I put my own orange juice in there.
Yeah.
And some Bickies in there. And then when you come back and the room's been done, they've taken them out.
Oh, that's annoying, though, that if they annoying. Do that. Actually, while you're there, you're paying for the fridge. It's your personal fridge. You could store blood samples in there if you wanted.
Could I?
Yes. It's your
Thanks.
Fridge. They shouldn't tamper with those things. When we were on our honeymoon, me and my wife stayed in this hotel in Las Vegas, and they had those things with the pressure pads on the minibar. And we went through this whole Indiana Jones type thing of trying to...
What do you mean pressure pads on the minibar?
Well, each item sits on a pad. So if you remove it, it's immediately logged onto your bill.
So by touching it, you have to pay for it.
As soon as you remove it, it goes on your bill.
No.
So we were trying to do this thing with like similarly weighted objects and trying to slide them in.
Did it work?
No.
That's exciting.
It was exciting. Felt like we were in a film.
You know, the other thing with hotels is, in my opinion, they always give you the worst room.
Right.
Just by default. So you should always say, can I see the room? And then say, is there a better one?
Really?
Yeah. No, it's a little trade secret from Cornwalls.
Doctor, hotel.
Yeah, and just push with the room and there'll always be a better one. They always just put non-fussy customers in the noisiest room with the worst view.
Yeah, that's what they do to me.
Yeah, and then they just wait for the fussy ones and give them. So be fussy. That's my
Jimmy Fusspot. Every time that I've tried to be Jimmy Fusspot, it's got thrown right back in my face with a little dollop of poo-poo.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't think they can see right through me. They think, oh, this guy has talked to someone who said, oh, you know, you should always make a fuss and you'll get a better room. Well, I'm going to throw it right back in his little hairy face. Deal with that, Jimmy Fusspot. No, that's the only room we have available. Okay, thank you.
That's usually what I do as well. But sometimes it comes through. Anyway, listen, it's time for this week's Text the Nation. And if you're worried that this is happening a little bit late in the show, don't forget that really it's just a setup for next week's Retro Text the Nation.
Yeah, it's all about the retro nowadays. Let's have the jingle jongle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about homemade Christmas gifts. What is the best or worst homemade Christmas gift you've ever given or received? Because next week's show is going to be quite Christmassy. It's our last show before Christmas, is that true, on the 19th? So we want a Christmas-themed Text the Nation, and this is it. Adam Buxton, what's the best or worst homemade Christmas gift you've ever given or received? Ask me. I've got one. Then you can have some thinking time.
How about you? Yeah. Who? You, I mean, okay. You're quite good on your homemade stuff, aren't you? You've got a good buddy who does a lot.
I got a good buddy who does a lot. He did a brilliant series of portraits. So he just bought some lovely gouache paints and some little canvas boards that you can get from art shops. Mm-hmm. And he got some photographs of all his loved ones. And he did some quite insane portraits.
Sort of outsider art
style. Well, the best thing was he was obviously clearly trying to do his absolute best.
Yeah.
There was nothing ironic or tongue-in-cheek about his approach. He really focused and tried to capture the... And inevitably, it turns out, quite wonky and self-expressive. But in a very truthful way, if you don't actually sort of premeditate the wonkiness.
Yes.
And we treasure that portrait. It's of me and my lady partner.
I think I know the one. It is absolutely wonkalicious.
It's really off. But there's something more on about it than any moron. It's more on it than off it.
Yeah.
Moronic. Anyway, it's lovely and we treasure it.
Yeah, that's a very good. That's a good exercise in general. If you go into something trying your best and trying to do something as well as you possibly can.
Yeah.
If it turns out wonky, it's often very funny.
It's honest wonkiness. But that's a good... It's an economical approach as well, because his outlay was the canvas boards and the paints.
Yeah.
Probably the amount of money you'd spend on one commercially produced gift, and he managed to cover the whole family. He had to put time into it, but then that's the most precious quantity of all.
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people can't afford that precious commodity of time, and that's why they go out to the shops and just buy meerkats and all the other rubbish that is getting...
What, meerkats?
Meerkats are the big present this
DVD?
Year. They're the big present this
year. A stuffed one?
Little stuffed meerkat.
Really?
Not a real, like, stuffed meerkat.
Why not?
but a cuddly toy.
Why? How do you know they're the big present?
I saw it on the news.
On the news. Can you remember receiving or giving anything really amazing?
I don't get too many homemade presents. I mean,
kids buy you stuff? Do they not make you little things? I suppose it's different when you're a young child.
I get drawings, you know.
Get drawings.
And
do
the drawings
are amazing.
I absolutely love them. My son, Natty, is quite an artist, and nothing hits the spot quite so much as a Natty drawing. It's amazing.
Have you never given anything homemade?
Oh, I give lots of homemade things, yeah. But, I tend to do a lot of photo albums and stuff like
that.
But not Tracy Island style, because the worry, especially with children, is that they're going to throw it right back in your face. You know, they want the store-bought stuff. They want it all shiny and new and plastic and like everyone else has. If you start presenting them with a wooden hobby horse that you made in your shed, they're going to beat you to death with it. And even the Blue Peter stuff, like, I never understood why Tracy Island was such a massive sensation as it was. How long ago was that? 20 years or something?
Nah.
And they were telling people how to make Tracy Island out of, like, from Thunderbirds out of cardboard.
What kid would want a homemade Tracy Island? It sounds like madness. But, you know, we want to really catalogue your best ideas for homemade gifts that you've either given or received, because it could be very useful for our cash-strapped student listeners.
Exactly.
Or, you know, people who
anyone in the financial crisis.
Exactly. Exactly. Say it.
Right.
What?
Well, we are still in the grip of the credit crunch, financial crisis, whatever you want to call it. So this is a very timely...
So this is clever.
This is very clever.
This is really good.
This is radio gold.
I mean, this is like a proper radio program.
This is exactly like a proper radio
program. It's utilitarian, it's amusing, it's interesting, it's authored.
Useful, fun. Tell the people about the tunnel facts.
The tunnel facts? Did we just bring that on me so suddenly?
Earlier on in Retro Textination, how do you make a tunnel under the water?
Liam Hudson. The channel tunnel is bored through rock some hundreds of feet below the bed of the channel itself. Tunnels that aren't bored through rock are often built on the surface, then sunk down onto the bed of the river. Others are excavated just below the surface of the riverbed. These have to be maintained at high pressure whilst they're being dug. Yours, chthonically, Liam.
Good radio show, you see.
This is
interesting.
I just realised this is a good radio show.
Right it is.
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar.
To make them refer to things I do.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh
I call it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
Bent over the washing this week, I started singing to myself.
Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
Not by someone. I was bent over myself, just helping out with the washing a little bit. And the tune popped into my head. The never-ending laundry. Never-ending laundry.
Hey, that would be a good intro for the podcast.
Never-ending story.
Yeah.
We got another good one, though. Anyway, I'm sure other people must sing that tune because, especially if you've got a family, a fairly large family, the washing machine just never stops a-whirring. And you're always just plucking stuff out there and hanging it up and the never ending. Here's a message, though, from David Bennett, who says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I was listening to the show and looking through my post at the same time. Just as you started to play This Is Not America by David Bowie, I picked up an envelope carrying the stern warning, this is not a circular. Clearly, it's the power of your minds, and I shall forever be singing, this is not a circular, no, to the appropriate tune at every appropriate occasion. Love, David Bennett." I got fooled by a This Is Not a Circular the other day. You know the things that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And I assumed...
Was it a circular?
No, it wasn't a circular. I don't think... Are they allowed to put This Is Not a Circular if it is a circular?
Everything's allowed these days.
Do you reckon they'd do that? It would be so low, wouldn't it? And I just assumed cynically that that's what someone had done. But this is not a circular in order that you're fooled into opening it. And so I thought, not going to fall for that one, matey. No way am I going to open that envelope and find out it is a circular and you've wasted a few seconds of my time. That's going straight in the bin. It wasn't a circular. It was a message from the electricity board saying they were turning the power off for a whole day. And then when the day rolled round and everything went off, I was thrown into turmoil and confusion.
You got a great deal of correspondence about your HDMI cable mix-up last week, didn't you? Last week, Adam was talking about how he went into an electronics accessories retailer in order to buy a new HDMI cable, and they told him there were three different prices available, sort of £10, £50 and £100.
100 for the gold, 50 or 75 for the copper, and 50 for the regular.
And we got an avalanche of very responsible correspondents pointing out that there is no degradation of image. You know, an HDMI cable is an HDMI cable. It's the same quality whatever you pay for it. So that whole pricing scheme is a complete ripple-off.
Someone said they even had a thing on the Gadget Show on Channel 5 proving exactly this. They hooked up three TVs.
The show with the most enthusiastic presenters on television. Have you ever watched that show?
Sure, it's a good show.
There are levels of enthusiasm that are almost unwatchable.
I like it, man.
I like it as well. I always end up watching it. But
they finally, on Harry Hill's TV Burt the other day, they finally did the thing that I was going to do on this show, actually. I was going to bring in their prize section and just play the audio.
Yeah.
They give the most prizes of any show ever in history.
It takes about 10 minutes to list them.
Literally, it takes 3 minutes to go through all the prizes they're going to give you. It's unbelievable. It's great. One final bit of pop-appropriation from Tom Patterson in Dorset. He says, I like to sing I Want to Make Tea to the tune of I Want to Break Free in the morning. I'm sure a lot of people do that. I want to make tea. I mean, you could go on and just provide a whole section of new lyrics for that one, couldn't you? Thanks for those bits of pop-appropriation.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
We're asking you all about homemade Christmas presents. We want really good ideas so cash-strapped listeners can copy them. Stuff you've given or stuff you've received that hasn't involved any kind of shopping at all, really, except perhaps for materials. Here's one from Mark Tyler. My sister made me a model of Jabba the Hutt out of clay. It looks more like a green poo with a face. I'll try and find you a picture, says Mark. Would you like that? Would you like me to make you a model of Jabba the Hutt that looks like a green poo with a face? What if it was a green poo with a face? Would you like that more?
Yeah, like a little baby poo. And you just...
It wouldn't be a little baby poo.
Would it not? You'd have to change your diet because, I mean, that would be a touching thing to do for someone, wouldn't it? You change your diet for 2 weeks.
That would be touching.
So you can produce a little festive stool.
That you then put a face on and call it Jabba the Hutt and give it to a relative. That's a good idea.
It's like Mr. Hankey.
What would you have to eat? A lot of food colouring. You'd have to drink a lot of food colouring.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one from Tom D. Is that cool to have a second name that's just a letter? Tom D.
Tommy D, yeah.
Tommy D. Maybe he runs the Big D Peanuts Factory.
I think he does, yeah.
He does. As a child, I once made my mother a snow globe out of a peanut butter jar. I spent all of 20 minutes making it, wrapped it up and popped it under the tree. Within 2 hours, there was a small pool of water and glycerine that had drained from my poorly constructed peanut butter snow globe. My mother tried not to get angry about the soaking carpets, but she didn't do it very well. Bye, says Tom D. And finally, dear Adam and Joe, I'm a bit skinty-wint this year. Actually, he says skinny-wint. So I'm making my horse-loving sister, she's 28, a horse mask that she can wear. It's made out of papier-mâché. Here's a picture. We couldn't quite get the picture out of the computer. It's not finished quite yet. I put in the teeth yesterday. While I was looking at them, I started to chuckle to myself because of the horse's insane grin.
I mean, that's what Christmas should really be all about, shouldn't it?
We can't see the photo there. That is from... Who is that from? Dan Schinner. We can't see the photo, but I can see it in my mind's eye, and it's brilliant.
You know, because otherwise you're just going out and buying people DVD box sets that they could perfectly easily buy for themselves, you know. What is much nicer than that is a horse...
Homemade horse mask. Or a poo with a face.
What gets more Christmassy than that? You know, and that is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, listeners.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Oh, Laura, Laura, X Factor tonight, listener. Oh, surprise, surprise. You lovely couple. Well done. You sung it really well, Laura, Laura.
This is becoming very regular, this visit by the Queen. of England.
Hello, beautiful couple. If you was a basket, what kind of basket will you be, Laura, Laura?
I mean, previously we had surprise, problems with surprise. with an annoying dog that would come in here all the time. The dog seems to have... I think its name was Boggins?
Yeah.
Does that ring any bells?
Poor old, I miss Boggins.
Where's Boggins gone? I mean, there was such an uproar from the listeners. Yeah. Some of them are threatening to kill him.
That's right.
That Boggins has sort of scampered off, but now he's sort of been replaced by
the Queen. Hello, beautiful couple you are, Laura. Surprise, surprise, blinded data.
Which, you know, might be equally irritating to some listeners.
Oh, you've done a really good song on the X Factor. Well done, Laura, Laura, lovey couples, love your couples. Well, let's hear it for surprise, surprise, Laura. Laura Blunder there.
Do you think you could break the world record of staying in character with that character? How long do you think you could do it for?
I don't know, a long time.
How long?
A long time.
Could you break the record whilst talking about breaking the record? Do you know? Actually break the record speculatively.
Oh, what exciting break. A record break, Laura.
Let's see how long you can go for now. Start, go.
Oh, you look a lolly couple. That's nah. Woof, you are kind of a horse. What kind of horse will you be, Laura? Blanadetta, breaking record breaker. Come on, keep talking, Laura. Look at your life, Laura X Factor. Why you want a surprise, surprise, Blanadetta, Laura fan now coming for you. If you got a record coming out, Laura, lovely couple.
Don't stop. Keep going. Push yourself. You'll never achieve anything unless you achieve this. Go.
Laura, I need a break. Take care, listeners.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Have a good week. Bye, love you, bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
Okay, this week, Dimension Studies. Cameron, have you come up with a new dimension? I certainly have, sir. It's a new dimension in excitement, and it's populated by blue people with large eyes from Australia who are trying to protect their kingdom from bad army men.
Blue people. They could change Blue Peter to Blue People.
That would be a lot better, wouldn't it?
More kids would watch if it was presented by giant semi-nude Smurf men.
Who look like Connie Huck.
Yeah.
Adam and Joe on 6 Music.